This episode is sponsored by VTech.
On today's episode of Heads in the Cloud, Graham and I are joined by Jeff Burchett, the co-founder of Big Leaf. We talk all things SD-WAN. We're going to talk a little bit about Graham's doppelganger, another Graham, and flying on small planes. So stay tuned.
Heads in the Cloud. With your hosts, David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
Welcome to today's episode of Heads in the Cloud. I'm David Portnowitz.
I'm Graham Potter, as always.
We got a special episode for you today. We're joined
special.
Absolutely. I think it's special.
Yeah.
We're joined by one of my good friends, Jeff Burchett from Big Leaf.
You've traveled around the world with him, I understand.
Well, I wouldn't say the world. The States.
Well,
we had some.
For you,
I'll tell you a funny story. So,
here we go.
Jeff, who is one of the co-founders of Big Leaf, the SD-WAN company we've partnered with to not sell SD-WAN. We were going to road shows this summer, and we were on Silver Star. So you've been on Silver Star, right? You've been on Silver Star, yeah?
Many times. Yeah.
So Silver Star is our little plane that we own, and it's a little Pilatus PC-12. It's a great, great plane, and we were flying from Atlanta to DC, and it was Jeff's first time on Silver Star because he had flown from Portland to Atlanta to meet us there. And then we were flying from Atlanta to D.C. for the roadshow that night in D.C. So we get up in the air and it's going good. And it's me and Jeff and a couple other guys from sales engineering. And Bob, the pilot, turns around and he's like, as we get closer to D.C., he's like, guys, just we have to buckle up for a little bit. It's a little bumpy in coming into D.C. So let me tell you something. I don't mind flying, but it's not my favorite thing in the world to do.
Listen,
it's not going to stop me from going anywhere, but
yeah, I'm with you.
I'd rather be on the ground. So I'm like, all right, here we go. So, when you're on Silver Star, you can see the radar in the plane. On the screen,
six foot away.
Yes, very close. So I can see it up there. And Sean Davis, who's one of our sales engineers, is up there in the cockpit. He's sitting with Bob, and he's turning around. He's laughing because he knows I don't really enjoy this. And he's pointing at the radar. And we're about to fly through, I can see is red.
Big stuff, just red.
And there's no way of getting around it because we have to land. And we're already kind of running late to go to this road show. So we get in there, and we are just rocking and rolling. We are just going up and down. And yeah, which is fine. But then we started sort of sliding side to side, and you could hear the rain pelting the wings, and you just see light flashes of light, and you're like, oh God, we're not going to make it. So we get through, it's like 2 minutes, but it seems like it's
an eternity.
Yeah. So we get through one, and then, okay, it's good. It's fine. Okay. I'm not sweating anymore. Here comes another one. Another 2 minutes. We're rocking and rolling. So then we're landing now, and I'm like, all right, it's fine. Well, as we come around and we're on the plane, and then we landed. I mean, you could not see outside the window as we're landing. I mean, it was so, the rain was raining so hard that I don't know how Bob, I mean, so we get off the plane, we get in the van to go to the road show. So Jeff goes, are all the flights like that? And I said, no, we were all like, no, that was a bad one. And Bob's joking. Bob's like, was that too much? And we're all like, no, it was fine. But it was just a funny little thing because Jeff had never been on before, and it was like his first ride on Silver Star. He's like, are they all like that? And then, no, it was fine. But
it is an experience. I've had a very similar one coming into Sarasota in extreme fog.
Oh, yeah.
And there's obviously a ceiling where you can do that, but it was that was pretty hairy because we came down out of the abyss, out down, and the next thing, whack, you're straight down.
You're
the
right
runway.
On the runway.
It's
yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. All kudos to our pilot Bob.
He's fantastic.
Fascinating to watch when you're up there as well, and looking at landing a plane, and also all the conversation that goes on with the tower and whatever.
Oh, it's fascinating.
I wouldn't be able to hear it. I mean, I can't. I mean, I can't hear you half the time. But,
but anyways, I digress.
You digress, yeah.
We did have on the way back, we flew from Boston, back to Sarasota, and it was fine.
That's expanded on your relationship with Jeff.
But so Jeff and I, so we've been working with Big Leaf now since the beginning of the year. We have launched the product out in a limited release to our top 25 or so partners who have been selling the product already.
I forgot to ask Jeff why the name.
Oh, yeah. You know what? He explained to me the name. It's something to do with like a leaf and something, but it's big. I don't know.
That sounds quite plausible.
No, it has to do with like some. That was a joke. It has to do with
actually,
like
listeners. I think that sounds like a lot of old nonsense.
Yeah, no, it has to do with like the patterns and nature. I don't know. Oh, okay. I asked him about it once, and he gave me a story. I think I tuned it out halfway
when
through.
When we go to press with this and we broadcast this, we will put an official statement on there why the name Big Leaf.
So, yeah, you'll have to email him afterwards and say what questions from our listeners / Graham.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, put it in the show notes. There please you go. Do. But anyways, let's get to it because it's a great interview, and let's get to the interview. What do you think?
Yeah, we fully paid up with the phone bill. Can we afford to dial them up? Because they're a long way away, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in Portland.
Yeah.
So hopefully they have. Well, I'm sure they have great internet. I mean,
a lot of people in Portland. We got other partners that part of the world.
So. A lot of people in Portland. Yes.
Oh yeah, we got.
It is one of the major metropolitan cities in the States.
We've got other partners out of that area. Yeah.
Matrix.
Yeah.
Big partner out of that area. Absolutely. Portland. Not Portland, Maine.
No.
Oregon.
Yeah.
You've been there?
No.
Neither have I.
VTech are out that way as well. So
I'd like to go.
Mm-hmm. I would like to go.
They have great food. And the Willamette Valley is real close.
Everything comes down to either food and wine.
We know what's near is the Willamette Valley. Mm. Lots of good wine comes out of that region.
Very nice.
We need to make a trip out there. We could visit Big Leaf and VTech.
We could do.
Let's do it.
We could go on a whistle stop tour.
Q4. Q4 on the road with Graham and David.
Okay, let me get that in my diary right now.
Here's Jeff. All right, now Graham and I are joined by Jeff Burchett. Jeff is the president, founder?
VP of sales and co-founder.
Yes, okay, co-founder.
So is that what it says?
That's Big Leaf. Let's make sure we get it in there.
That's
Big
what
Leaf.
It says on your business card. Is that correct?
That's correct. Exactly. It's so on my LinkedIn profile.
I just want to check. Yeah. I don't want you kind of, you know. In delusions of grandeur or something like that. And
you think he's just the VP of sales and just threw co-founder on there, thinking no one would notice. Yeah. But no, Jeff, joining us live from Portland, Oregon, beautiful Portland, Oregon. And thanks so much for having us for coming on the show today, Jeff. We appreciate it.
Absolutely happy to be here.
And we met Jeff, or we've sort of been working with Big Leaf now. For the last year and a half or so.
I think not quite a year. I think the conversations with you guys started, actually, now that I think about it, a year. It started last September.
Yep.
With some early conversations with Norm, some conversations with Michelle and Trey, and just is there a fit with SD-WAN and Star2Star, and how does that interact with the Starbucks and your legacy behind that? And what started out as a series of phone calls led to Joel and I taking a trip down to Sarasota. It would have been last November. It would have been right before Thanksgiving. Spent the better part of 2 days with Trey and Hal, kind of rolling up our sleeves and digging into what the heck is the Big Leaf platform? What does it look like? How does it complement the Starbucks? How is it different? How does it fit in the long-term play of Star2Star and your move into the more traditional cloud you see, and the outcome of that came that this seems like a good fit, and let's see how we can kick off a partnership and get it going.
And then we spent the better part of the first half of this year sort of working on how we're going to integrate the two products and how we would sell the Big Leaf solution on our line card, and then this summer Jeff joined us on. Well, he came to our sales kickoff in February, and then this summer. He was with us on our ventures across the country
on your road trip.
Yeah. And we had some good times talking to partners about what Big Leaf does and sort of what separates them. And if you can, Jeff, just give us a little bit of history about sort of where Big Leaf started, what you guys are up to now, and sort of what you're seeing in the space that's exciting you. So
yeah, I think the other thing as well, Jeff, is a bit of a bio on yourself.
Absolutely, that'd be great
for our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So my entire career has been in telecom. Actually, the funny story is I'm actually third generation to work for what used to be Mountain States Bell, then Mountain Bell, then it became US West, then it became Quest, where my grandpa had worked there, my mom worked there. I went to work for Quest in Seattle around 2003, 2004 timeline. And from there, I moved to a regional internet provider here in the Portland area, where for the first time I met Joel Mulkey. And Joel and I started working together there. Joel was the CIO of a local internet provider. I was handling sales and marketing. And we had a good run of helping a company grow and succeed in delivering internet via microwave. And that is actually the backstory behind where Big Leaf started as well. You know, Joel and I ran into a problem regularly where we wanted to sell microwave internet as a redundant internet connection. You know, with this movement to the cloud, this idea of multiple internet connections made a ton of sense for businesses. And the concept of using two internet connections seemed very attractive. The challenge, time and again, was how do you integrate multiple internet connections together? And we tried everything, complicated solutions from, you know, companies like Cisco to specialized load balancer appliances to very basic functionality on firewalls with failover. And time and again, we ran into challenges. This did this, but it wouldn't do that. That would do that, but it wouldn't do this. And nothing made sense for everybody. And Big Leaf was born out of that. You know, fortunately for me, Joel is both very smart and very tenacious. And one day said, this is ridiculous. There's got to be a better way to do this. And as he started down the path of kind of hacking together what the solution would be, we started talking about it a lot and what it could be and how it could play. And sure enough, a little ways into it, he said, hey, I want to go make a run at this. I want to make this a company. I want you to go with me. And sure enough, that's where I got involved and really kind of dug in. And we went through the iterations of what startups go through. We had to get a product to market. Yeah. We had to build a team. We had to raise money. For a couple of first-time founders, raising money was a heck of an adventure in and
of itself. I've heard some of those stories from you, Jeff. I know you and Joel traveled all over the country trying to raise that money.
Yeah, you know, the romanticized version of a Bay Area startup where you walk down the street and into a coffee shop and there's eight VCs looking to hand you a check, that's not the real world. Ooh. You know, we talked to a lot of different investors, went through a lot of iterations. In all honesty, it was a really healthy part of the business for us, because I think what we thought the business could be when it was just us thinking about it versus what investors challenge us, you know, to make it and asked us tough questions we had to come up with answers with, that really helped us build a stronger foundation for getting the business up off the ground. And really the business, you could say we got started in 2013, 2014-ish, but we really hit our stride when we raised our first round of investment in 2015. And that's what allowed us to launch nationwide and to get going as a company.
So let me ask you a question. When you and Joel sort of are first kicking this around, are you talking about it as an SD-WAN or is that term not even around?
Yeah, how long has that term been around exactly? I mean, for our listeners.
I can tell you it was not around when we were raising our first round of investment. Right. Because if it was, it probably would have been
an interesting thing. You're talking a foreign language to someone and you want to part with some cash.
Well, especially since what's happened in the SD-WAN market in the past 18 months, it's taken off and you know.
Yeah. It sounds kind of funny, but I would say the first time the term hit the mainstream probably would have been, you know, mid to late 2015, which was right after we raised our first round of investment. For the first time we were out talking to investors, we were talking about this concept of internet optimization, which isn't any different than what the company is today. It's just using SD-WAN as a more acceptable nomenclature of it. You know, the core of the business has always been one of, as you move more and more key applications out to the cloud, maybe it's point of sale in the cloud, maybe it's electronic health records in the cloud, more often than not, it's unified communications in the cloud. You need to rethink how you build your network, right? Because internet is now more important than it's ever been to your business. You know, the term we use all the time is cloud is only as good as your connection to it. And if you don't have the right connectivity in place, if you don't have the right network architecture in place, you run the risk of those applications suffering, not to the fault of the application, but rather to the fault of the network architecture. Lo and behold, that concept not only held true, but others came up with some similar thoughts or some tangential ideas to it. And that's really what became the SD-WAN industry and where we all kind of ran out and tried to make our name and carve out our niche.
So how do you guard from, or how, you know, I would, sir, you know, you're going out to partners, you're obviously selling through that network. You know, is there hesitation on them to say, SD-WAN, is it a fad or is it something real, or how do you sort of combat that, or is that even a problem, or do you think that people are sort of like, no, I need this, I want this?
You know, I obviously we're not a multi-billion dollar corporation, so we still, not as many people are selling as we want to yet. We want more and more people selling it and making part of the mainstream. But it's less about do I or do I not need this. I think the challenge, there's two challenges we face. There's a partner community challenge, and then there's an end customer challenge. The partner community challenge is that there's a lot of confusion around SD-WAN. I think kind of in the telecom channel and the telecom market, it's a bit of an echo chamber. And there's a lot of different people using SD-WAN to mean a lot of different things, some of which have very big microphones when they do it. And
are you referring to our microphone? I mean, was that a joke about it?
Oh, these are pretty substantial.
These are they're quite large, yes.
Yeah, it's like you can almost hide behind this thing.
But there's a lot of confusion that went with the excitement. So the challenge that we face in the partner communities is helping people understand how SD-WAN fits into your portfolio and into your sales strategy, your sales practices. And that's different from the customer challenge of helping customers understand the value of SD-WAN relative to, in our case, their cloud and SaaS deployments.
Gotcha.
So inside the channel, the challenge is that the first big wave of SD-WAN was really targeted around MPLS augmentation and ultimately MPLS replacement. So if you're a partner, you think of SD-WAN, you think of immediately in terms of which one of my customers are using MPLS and should I go approach them on that? And that's not our story, right? Our story is one of in our opinion, SD-WAN is not disrupting, or SD-WAN is not disrupting the MPLS market. Cloud is disrupting the MPLS market.
Absolutely.
Hub and spoke networks are being flipped on their head because there's no more hub. You're not going back to a corporate data center where you have servers and a PBX, right? The network of the future is you're going to star-to-star for unified communications and contact center. You're going to Microsoft for 365 and Azure. You're going to AWS. You're going to Salesforce. You're going to your payment processing in the cloud, your electronic health records in the cloud, et cetera. You have a site to cloud architecture. We're going to get to all these different environments. And that's a different way of thinking about your network. And that's where we have to help kind of educate partners of saying, hey, other SD-WAN solutions that are built for site-to-site architecture, this hub and spoke architecture, if your customer is going to remain in that state, then they're a good solution.
Yeah.
But when your customer is moving into this cloud environment, with UCaaS leading the charge, you need to re-architect your network accordingly. And that leads us down this path oftentimes with partners of, well, how do I sell SD-WAN? What does this look like? Where does it fit it, et cetera? And I think too many of them think I've got to lead with SD-WAN when in actuality, the lead is UCaaS. The lead is SaaS. The lead is cloud. It's the application. That SD-WAN is the perfect complement to, that it should be part of that. That again, the cloud is important, but the cloud's only as good as your connection to it. How do we architect a network to get with that? So one of the reasons we were so excited to partner with you guys is you guys are already having the conversations that justify our existence, right? Your customers are already looking to you to move their communications infrastructure into the cloud and into your environment.
Mm-hmm.
We're simply sitting there saying, hey, once that's there, Star2Star is doing everything they can to ensure the performance in their network, in their environment, and of their application. But Mr. Customer, you need to think how you're getting to Star2Star. You need to think about that connectivity component, and that's where SD-WAN layers into it.
So is that an education challenge for partners, or are you finding that partners are readily are sort of excited about that conversation and getting it and sort of wanting to do that, or are you trying to teach them to start with that? I mean, I guess, you know, obviously we only sell through partners. You guys are what, mainly 100% partner?
100% partner.
Yeah, 100% partner as well. So, you know, I think we find with our partners, it's always a challenge, right, to sort of teach them the right way to communicate about our product. So I'm assuming that, it's probably a little bit of a challenge for you guys too, to sort of teach them the right way to do that. And I think that to me is the biggest hurdle that we have to jump over together. I don't know. That's kind of what I see.
I think you do that by kind of use cases and things like that. And I was actually thinking just as you were talking then that if I look back over the last several podcasts that we've done, I don't think there's ever been a subject matter that we've talked about like this. In that it's come up in pretty much every conversation that,
sure.
that we've had with different
yeah.
people. And I would think to Jeff and the team is, how do you make that real to people? How mm-hmm. do you explain that? And how do you differentiate as well as a company mm-hmm. Delivering what is becoming one of the hottest subjects around? I'm just interested.
Absolutely. I think I wouldn't say it's a challenge in that partners don't want to do it and customers don't want it. Rather, the challenge is just in helping people take a different look at a problem they already know.
Yeah.
Right. We've all had bad VoIP phone calls, right? We've all had frustration with SaaS tools like Salesforce. We've all had challenges with virtual desktop. We've had bad video conferences. We all intimately understand the problem. And a lot of times we even know that it may or may not be internet related. The difference is thinking about these are newer problems really relative to the cloud. They're more prevalent because you feel them the higher your cloud adoption is. So we need to stop looking at legacy solutions to solve them and look at new ways to solve these problems that were ultimately designed to solve these problems.
Sure.
And that's what we're ultimately getting partners through. While at the same time, you know, being in the middle of this shift in the partner channel as a whole, where the partner channel is going through their own evolution of not selling as many circuits and focusing more on UCaaS and SD-WAN and cloud and SaaS and how that fits all into it. So I think it's incumbent upon Big Leaf and in our partnership with you guys to not only show partners how it works, mm-hmm. right, that the viable technology, but more importantly, show them, here's why it's important. You know, here's the value proposition. Here's what the customer problem looks like. Here's how you engage that customer. Here's what's going to be important to them. And here's ultimately why we're the fit, not only to solve the problem today, but to purpose build that network for everything you want to do in the cloud in the future.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that you guys, you know, the technology is fantastic. I mean, I've heard you talk a lot about it and I've seen it work. I think like Graham was saying, you have to be able to show the customer or talk to the customer about the issues they were having. Like you mentioned, connectivity with Salesforce or a bad VoIP call or whatever the case is, and then say to them, like, look, Big Leaf is going to fix that problem. You've got internet issues. You need, you know, I take it back to the first thing you said, sort of, you know, how do you prioritize internet? You know, it's sort of, you need to be able to demonstrate that and show that via use cases, like mm-hmm. you were saying, Graham. Mm-hmm. And then I think the product sells itself very easily, right? You're like, wow, how have I not had this for the last 5 years? Like, I'm moving everything I have to the cloud. I have so much dependency on my one, maybe two internet connections. How do I ensure that those internet connections are doing the right things and prioritizing the right applications? And once you sort of get that and realize that, it becomes a no-brainer.
Yeah, we have a case study coming out here within the next week or so. And it's a company in Michigan called DP Fox. You'll appreciate DP Fox because it's the owner of your Orlando Magic, David.
Oh, the Amways, the DeVos company.
So they own a series of car and motorcycle dealerships throughout Michigan. And their story was one that this is a very mainstream business, right? You're selling cars and motorcycles. This isn't a development shop in the Bay Area. These are people buying trucks in upstate Michigan, right? And their challenge was that they were moving key applications out to the cloud. They had a dealer management platform that used to live on servers that they would locate those servers in some of their largest dealerships and then run private network connections from the large dealerships to the little dealerships. And that's how they would access that tool. They'd have small key systems at each of their locations and a handful of other solutions out there. But due to the maturation of their industry, a cloud-based dealer management platform made way more sense for them.
Sure.
Unified communications made way more sense. Then there are just a number of different things that made a lot more sense. And they went down that path of saying, okay, we're going to move off of in-house infrastructure. We're going to move this stuff out to the cloud because it makes the most sense for our business. It's the best way to serve the people in our dealerships and ultimately the other people serving our customers. That's how we make our money at the end of the day. And Grant, their CIO, jumped on this opportunity to move in this direction and realized very quickly that without the right network infrastructure in place, the entire initiative was at risk. You know, he said in the case study that his KPI, his ultimate measurement of success, was uptime and performance. It just came down to that.
Right. Managing risk.
If you can't get to these applications, then these applications are worthless and your people can't do their jobs. And they suffered through a number of different challenges. They kind of worked through, okay, how are we going to solve this problem? They looked at SD-WAN as a whole. It was in, a partner involved. And it kind of through shortlisting what they were looking for, it became very obvious that they didn't need an SD-WAN solution as an alternative to their private line connections to connect their dealerships together. They needed a cloud-first SD-WAN solution. They needed something that purpose-built connectivity out to the cloud. And after a, frankly, a very short but very successful trial period, this went from, hey, do I need this at one location, to how can we get this out to every one of our dealerships as fast as we can?
Those are always good stories to tell, yeah. Especially with a nice brand name. So side note, I'm going to need some magic tickets later this year. We can talk about that offline.
Unfortunately, we're not that far down the path of them yet. We're still selling trucks in upstate Michigan. We're not sitting courtside for the magic.
Jeff and I on our travels this summer discovered that we both very much enjoy the NBA and good food and wine. So we'll have some sidebar conversations about that. Yes.
Is that a surprise?
Graham and I have a history of discussing wine on this podcast.
Okay. Yeah, David does it though with the pure intent, blatant intent, I might add, of perhaps somebody's out there listening.
I'm trying to get a wine sponsor. Yeah. I'm trying to get a wine sponsor for the podcast.
You've proved it worked with the.
I did get one item sent to me from a company that we mentioned.
High technology.
So I'm just trying to throw anything I can at the, you know, just as much as I can at the board, seeing what sticks. But so far, I'm like 1 for 50.
Well, keep trying. Keep plugging away. So.
But you know that's a great real world example. Yeah, I think that's the kind of thing that customers need to see. So. Yeah. The other thing I hear partners talk about with SD-WAN is how do you guys deal with security firewalls, and how is that different than what others do in the space?
Yeah, it's, you know, while the cloud is front and center of every CIO's mind, so is security, right? You can't go more than a couple of days about hearing some company that got hacked and all the exposure and the challenge that IT team faces. And frankly, I think the one thing with security that I don't think people give enough credit is network issues happen because a piece of equipment fails, or someone misconfigures something, or something happened, but it wasn't malicious, right? Security is about preventing a malicious attack on your environment and the way that evolves. That's a really hard thing in today's environment. And, you know, I think every SD-WAN company has come to the decision of saying, okay, hey, how does security fit into our offering? What does that mean to us? And how do we package that up with what we do? And while I think plenty of the market decided, hey, we want to try to roll security into our solution and make this all-in-one solution, this edge device that's a Swiss Army knife. It's part router, it's part firewall, it's part SD-WAN. Maybe it's got some Wi-Fi in it as well.
It also does HIPAA compliance, PCI compliance.
Yeah.
It bakes brownies. And
bread,
it,
milk.
Yeah, it does. Makes crack pie.
Exactly. The thing that we found in that case is that while that markets very nicely, the moment you sit down with a CIO and you have a conversation about cloud and network, and then you go into security, they have very stringent requirements around security, right? In today's environment, it's best of breed security or bust. If you're not specializing in security, you create a challenge for your customer environment. And as we looked at the direction we wanted to go to Big Leaf and the thing we wanted to be to our partners and to our customers, we wanted to pick a couple things and do those exceedingly well. We didn't want to be mediocre at a whole bunch of stuff. And we definitely didn't want to be mediocre at security. Mm-hmm. The terms hope and could and should and would should never be involved in a security conversation. We didn't want to sit with our customers and say, yeah, we've built all this SD-WAN functionality. Oh, yeah, by the way, we've got a firewall that we think should take care of you.
Should
we
be
hope
okay,
it
yeah.
does what it could. Yeah. You know, rather the direction we took is saying, hey, let's focus on what we do, do it really, really well, and let's empower our customers to make both a best-of-breed SD-WAN solution alongside a best-of-breed security solution. So we decided to remain outside of the security space and rather build such that we're completely transparent to whatever the customer chooses to do from a security strategy. They can pick that brand name firewall. They can work with that brand name managed security provider. They can implement their top-of-line security solution without worrying about what are my SD-WAN trade-offs? You know, what do I have to disable on my security environment to enable SD-WAN? Rather, we said, hey, let's give you the best of both, and let's do it such that we're completely transparent to that security environment. It's a little bit different story. It doesn't make as cool of a one-page sales slick. But when you get into a service-based business where you're looking to keep customers around for a long time, admitting what you do and what you don't do and being very upfront with that right out of the gate is the best way to keep somebody around for a long time.
Yeah, I think transparency is the key.
Yep.
And honesty and setting expectations. And so if you can set expectations and everyone's on the same page at the beginning, it makes for a much nicer relationship down the road.
So. I think that relationship is not only with the customer, but we all sell via partners as well.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
How do you put partners in a good situation? Because us and our partners, none of us make all of our money up front, right? Nope. It's not like the days of selling a box and collecting all the cash right there. Yeah. We all make a little bit of money each month. And that's great because we can all make a lot of money over an extended period of time. It's a very healthy, very happy business to be in. But it requires you to focus on that customer every single day, not just on the day you close the deal. I like to say anybody that says they're in the service business, well, guess what? You're not in the service business unless you're also in the support business. If you're not focusing on supporting your customers, then you shouldn't be providing them service.
Couldn't agree more with that statement. So what do you see? What's on the docket for Big Leaf? Like, are you focused on the product you have? Obviously. Are you looking to expand into multiple products, or sort of what's the future of Big Leaf look like?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing on the table for us right now is growth in general. Mm-hmm. Right? We have a product that fits a really strong niche in the market today, and that niche is growing rapidly every single day because that niche happens to be cloud. And there are some very big companies that are driving that. We're just enjoying the fruits of their labors.
Yeah, Gartner says like only a third of companies have adopted cloud. I mean, so most of the companies out there, there's a lot of opportunity for everyone to make a solid amount of cash.
Exactly. Along with that, international growth is a big thing for us right now. So as of today, we're still supporting, services domestically. Technically, we could say international. We have some customers in Canada and in Mexico, but all of our infrastructure is located in the States today. That's changing over the next couple quarters. We'll be deploying in Europe and then growing out from there. So that's a big initiative for us that we're really excited about. Expanding kind of this partnership model with you guys. This is what we're doing with you is a little bit different than what we've done with the business in the past. And working side by side with a service provider like you guys is something that you don't just sign somebody up to do and then hope for the best, right? You got to roll up your sleeves and be in the middle of it. And we're already starting to see the successes of that. You know, the limited launch with you guys is already turning into orders already. Had a great conversation with Michelle last week where she was really impressed with the amount of traction you guys are seeing in just a limited launch and what that's going to look like, broader launch. And then from there, it's about expanding the platform itself. It's not replacing the platform. It's not pivoting into a different market, but it's adding greater functionality and greater visibility around the platform itself. Being able to extend our visibility, extend our reach, and be a more complete solution as more and more customers move their applications out to the cloud.
Does that mean like more visibility, like more features into your portal or just more visibility into how the network is performing and more sort of granularity on how to control that? Or is that how you see that?
In the short term, greater visibility is a really important part of what we're doing.
Okay.
Right. While our platform should mitigate the issue on its own,
because I know
people
that your system sort of like automatically chooses the best path. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's an interesting kind of tension that we're trying to maintain in the company itself, in that we want to give customers the control that they want. But at the end of the day, we're trying to build a solution that isn't incumbent on policies, right? To have a whole bunch of policies means someone needs to configure those policies, to set up those policies, and to update those policies. And in today's cloud world, that just isn't practical. The cloud is moving too fast for any one user or any one administrator to constantly be adapting their policies, right?
You know, and then as soon as that administrator leaves, who takes over?
Exactly. You know, we talk about our customers and where they are on their cloud journey and the consistency of where we see them landing on that journey. And one of the most interesting things about the cloud is how it changes a business's buying patterns, right? Before the cloud, if you were buying new software, you'd probably have a cross-functional team that was put together to define what the software needed to do. They would go to IT and say, this is what it's going to do. Do we have the infrastructure to support it? If not, how do we update the infrastructure? They buy the software, they roll it into their environment, and IT is providing the expected uptime through control. right? That they're controlling everything in the customer environment. And by limiting the variables, they can provide the best possible experience. Well, fast forward to the cloud, you don't need that cross-functional team. Frankly, you don't need IT in often instances to sign up for a new solution.
Well, Jeff, I think we've taken up enough of your time today.
We've actually probably exhausted the time. Yeah, but you know, David's always.
And it's also it's your lunchtime, so you're probably pretty hungry. You probably need to.
We're running up on it. Yep.
You need to go hit up some voodoo donuts or something like that.
David's always got one last kind of thing for you. You know, this is David's treat.
I don't understand why you put this on me because I don't even like the. Graham likes to know with all of our guests what kind of animals you have at home. Do you have any pets at home?
I have two pets at home. We are very much a dog family. Before my wife and I got married, she had a dog. I had a dog. We've had two dogs ever since.
Oh, that's nice.
What kind of dogs do you have?
Do they get on? I mean, there's no guarantee. It's like relations, isn't it? There's no guarantee that everybody's going to get on.
We have two pretty interesting crossbreeds. So we have what has now become the very commonplace Golden Doodle that everybody seems to want to have. We're actually on our second. We had our first one who was a phenomenal dog. He passed away a couple years ago. When he passed away, my wife reached out to the breeder to let him know. We were connected with them on Facebook, so they kind of kept up with Braxton and his life, what he was doing. And they said, you know, we're so sorry to see Braxton go. When you guys are ready for another one, please let us know. We'd love to get you another dog. By the way, Braxton's sister just had a litter. So sure enough.
It's a good sales job, Jeff. That's a good sales job, Jeff. You got sold.
So we got Rooney, who is our Golden Doodle. And then we also have they're called a Frenchton. She is half French Bulldog, half Boston Terrier.
Wait, French Denchy?
We have
Frenchton.
A Frenchton.
Yes.
Yeah, we've had
so half French Bulldog, half Boston Terrier.
We've had Bostons for years. I got an aging Boston, a bit like his owner, actually. I've got an aging Boston Terrier now that we took in as a rescue dog. That he was 9 when you rescued him, and my wife said to me, I don't think Buster knows his name. I said, I think it's a little bit more fundamental than that. He's completely deaf. Doesn't matter what you do, you can, you know, come behind him with a squeaky toy and he gets nothing. So he was a $50 bargain from the Humane Society, and $5,000+ later on.
Later, yeah.
He's doing great.
Well, and you paid one way or another, Graham.
Well, and he's a cancer survivor as well. He's actually got the all clear the other day.
Oh, good, yes. For our listeners who've been following along on Buster's tail,
He went back and had an ultrasound and whatever. We nearly killed him doing that because he panics and he gets into a really terrible state and can't breathe.
Jeez.
So we had to run back and get him real quick and get him sedated and calmed down. But, yeah, they're great animals.
This is why I don't have dogs. I have no desire to deal with any of this. Okay, so tell us about your Frenchton.
So our Frenchton is Millie. And while she's a quarter of the size of Rooney, she's the one who runs the house. She bosses him around without much problem.
That's awesome.
Both of them great dogs. Well, I don't see us ever not having two dogs around the house.
So you
we're not a cat house.
You will always have two dogs.
I would expect it, yeah. Yep.
That is quite a commitment. And you have a son, too. He's got a kid, too. So he's got like three little things running around. Just much respect for me, Jeff.
You got to get an animal.
There's no animals happening in my house. Yeah, I already have two children. That's enough. That's all I need.
Get you a worm or a gerbil.
A worm. Fine. I will get a worm I could deal with. Put it in a little box. If it gets out, I don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It will die. Who cares?
What about an anole? Something like a nice little anole.
What's an anole?
Like all those little lizardy fellas around the
road. A lizardy Ah, Jeff.
We're going to get you one.
Yeah.
I'm going to put one in your office. Actually, I think there's one living in mine right now.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Jeff. We really appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll have more information on Big Leaf. I know we're going to launch a series of webinars here for our partners on some training topics. So look out for more on our relationship with Big Leaf. And thanks so much for joining us.
Every success with your business. We love working with you guys. So.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Likewise, we're excited to rock and roll.
All right, talk soon.
Take care.
All right, see you guys.
Bye. Good talking to you.
This episode is sponsored by VTech. When you choose Star2Star and VTech for your communication needs, you get more than just a phone system. You're building a relationship with two telecommunications market leaders. No matter what your communication needs, VTech offers a comprehensive and diverse portfolio of desktop, mobility, and conference devices that scale from small offices to enterprise-level corporations. Peace of mind is important to you, and that's why VTech supports your business and start a star with North America-based support professionals that truly understand your market to give you the support you need. To learn more about partnering with Start-A-Star and VTech, visit startastar.com and vtechphones.com.
That was a great interview with Jeff. I love that guy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you've traveled to, you know,
the depths,
four corners of the earth with with Jeff, and gone through death-defying
stunts
in airplanes.
So, absolutely. You know. No, but they have a great product. I mean, honestly, when we were on the road with them talking to partners, Jeff, first off, is a fantastic presenter.
Right.
I mean, I think in a recent Intellisys event, there was like a round by round event where they had to present against other people, and they ended up winning the whole competition.
Oh, that's pretty
good. He's a really good presenter. He tells a great story, and partners really enjoy listening to him talk, and it becomes a very interactive session. So, you know, they're out there and they're kicking ass, and they're doing. And speaking of kicking ass, I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
What's your
only one question?
What's your relationship with Instagram?
I don't have one.
You don't have an Instagram? Are you sure?
I am positive.
So,
listeners,
I was looking
there's obviously
at...
something. He's got a really cagey look on his face. He's obviously got something really shady that he's going to bring up.
The other day, I was going through my Instagram stories, and you get ads in your Instagram stories now, which is you kind of just skip right through them. And this one comes up, and it's for kick-ass copy. Mm. Copywriting for advertising agencies and private firms. And there's a picture of a guy kicking a soccer ball. And it's the website is www.grahampotter.com.
Damn.
Are you moonlighting as a copywriter?
You found me out.
So I'm looking at this thing right here.
Moonlighting.
Graham Potter. Now, he does this version of Graham Potter.
Looks like a young chap, actually.
Well, that's just a stock image, I think. If you look at his little picture up here, that's his actual picture.
Okay.
And if you go to his website,
ugly,
which is
ugly looking chap,
Grahami.
Grahami. Yeah, he spelled the name wrong.
Yeah, Grahami Potter.
There's your first indicator.
So what's the right way to spell Graham?
With no E on the end of it. Or no E in the middle of it either. So
Because I have a friend who's Grahame.
Yeah, that's another weird one.
He's Australian.
Well, that says it all.
But this is Grahame.
Yeah, I've never actually seen it that way before.
It's a weird
unique
spelling.
But then he's probably quite a unique chap.
So this isn't you.
This is not me. No, I can't lay claim to that.
If any of our listeners need copywriting help, though,
does that upset you? I mean, did you think I was kind of, you know?
Well, I did find it quite odd that in my Instagram feed I would see something about Graham Potter. Yeah. I just thought it was funny.
Okay,
that's a weird thing. That's strange.
It's nice that you were thinking about me as well.
I wasn't thinking about you. This just came up.
I think it was AI, and it actually...
was tapping into my brain.
Yeah, I think it was. Fred, we had a conversation about this lunchtime, so I think he was thinking about me, and so therefore the technology showed some images of my business.
So what kind of copywriting do you do?
I can't tell you that. It's a trade secret.
This podcast will have to get the language thing on it now, right? Because we said the word. No.
Did we?
Yes. No.
He's
going to bleep it.
You can bleep that stuff out.
Wow.
We got some real technology. That's our producer in the background. There you can hear.
You can bleep things.
Sure can.
I never knew that.
That's a.
I didn't know you could do that.
that's a new modification. They used to years ago. They still do.
We're on tape
radio
delay.
Stations. They used to have a profanity difference.
Yeah. We're on a 5-second tape delay. This goes live.
Like a tape. Hey, rewind the tape, chaps. Well, that's good, though. I enjoyed that interview.
Yeah, it was good.
Very interesting chap. And
you got anything else, or are you done? I'm done.
No, I think I'm done, really. I'm
this
done.
Is this yeah. Podcast is over.
Yeah, it's over for now. Yeah, I don't like it.
It's over for now.
I don't like it.
We've got
some additional information to go away and research anyway, and I'm sure Fred's going to do that. So
Grahami Potter.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do that. What if we had Grahami Potter
on the podcast
to talk about his copywriting?
Could do.
I bet it would be really boring.
Freak him out. He gets a phone call. Hi, Graham. It's Graham.
I don't want to do that podcast. No. That doesn't sound like a very good episode. So. All righty. That's it for us this week.
And you were.
I'm David Portnowitz.
And as always, I'm Graham Potter.